All right. As we look at Ephesians chapter 4, what we have found in what we'll see in verse 7 through 16 is four things. We've already seen two things so far. In verse number 7, we're seeing that every child of God is gifted. In verse 8 through 10, we saw that every child of God gift has cost the greatest possible price. And then in verse 11, which we'll be looking at tonight, that every child of God is Christ-centered. And then the fourth thing that we'll look at is every child of God gift has a threefold purpose from verse 12 through verse number 16. And so in order to understand verse 11 of Ephesians 4, you have to have read and understood verse 8 through verse 10. Because what Paul's point was, what he was making in Ephesians 4, 8 through 10, as we seen last week, is to explain that Jesus paying the infinite price of coming to earth and suffering death on our behalf qualified him to be exalted above all the heavens, that is, to the throne of God, in order that he might rightfully have the authority, and here it is, to verse number 11, that he might have might rightfully have the authority to give gifts to his saints. By that victory, he gained the right to rule his church and to give gifts to his church that he might fill all things. So as we look at verse 11, what we see is that every believer's gift is Christ-centered. Now, look at verse 11. And he gave some. Now notice that. First of all, he says, and he gave some. This is as evidence by his perfect fulfillment of his Father's will. Christ possessed the authority to assign the spiritual gifts from verse 7 and 8. To those he had called into service in his church. He gave not only gifts, but gifted men. Christ not only gives gifts to individual Christians, but to the whole, a total body. And so in verse 11, he begins to identify some of the spiritual gifts given to the church. So he says he gave some apostles. Now, apostles were sent out. Apostles is a representative. They was an ambassador. And there are three things that are true of an apostle when we look at the text. Number one, he belonged to the one who has sent him out. He belonged to the one who have sent him out. Secondly, he is commissioned to be sent out. Thirdly, he possesses all the authority and power of the one who sent him out. He possesses all the authority and power of the one who sent him out. Now, the word apostle has both a narrow and a broad usage in the New Testament. The narrow sense, it refers to the 12 apostles and to Paul as an apostle. You can read that Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Acts chapter 1, 21 and 22, and 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 1. So the narrow sense is that when you look at read those verses, it refers to the 12 apostles and to Paul as an apostle. But also in the narrow sense, there was at least two basic qualifications for an apostle. Number one, the apostle, he was a man chosen directly by the Lord himself or by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures that you can write down and you can read on on your free time. One of the scriptures, Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Matthew 10, verse 1 and 2. Mark chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Mark chapter 3. Verse 13 and 14. Luke chapter 6 and verse 13. Luke chapter 6 and verse 13. Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. And also verse 15. Acts 9 verse 6 and also verse 15. Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. Acts 13 and verse 2. Acts chapter 22, verse 10 and verse 14 and 15. Acts chapter 22, verse 10, 14 and 15. And then Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Romans 1 and verse 1. So we find that one of the qualifications was the apostle was a man chosen directly by the Lord himself or by the Holy Spirit. The second qualification is that he was a man who had either seen or been in companion of the Lord. He was a man who had either seen the Lord or been a companion of the Lord. In other words, the apostle was a man who had been an eyewitness of Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. And I'm just giving you some of the scriptures that you're going to see from the first qualification and also on this one. Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. And then 1 Corinthians 9 and verse number 1. So this was the narrow sense. But then the broad sense, the word apostle, refers to other men who preached the gospel. It refers to other men who preached the gospel. In other words, it is used of two missionaries. One was Barnabas, Acts chapter 14 and verse 4. Acts 14 and verse 4. And also verse 14 and verse 17. So Acts 14, verse 4, verse 14 and verse 17. And then the second was Silas. Silas. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 6, you might know the name as Silvanus, but that name meant Silas. Silas in 1 Thessalonians in verse 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 6, and you'll see that start out in verse number 1. You'll see that. And so not only the word apostle refers to other men who preach the gospel like Barnabas and Silas, but also we can find two messengers. Two messengers. Number one, the first name was Titus, not Titus 2. The first name was Titus in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 23. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 23. Titus was one. He was one of the messengers. Epaphroditus was another one. You remember we talked about Epaphroditus when we looked in the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25. So there was two messengers, Titus and Epaphroditus. So we see in the narrow sense, in the narrow sense, that the apostle was a man chosen directly by the Lord himself or by the Holy Spirit. But also he was a man who had either seen or been a companion of the Lord. He was a man who had been an eyewitness of Jesus. But then in the broad sense, the word apostle refers to other men who preached the gospel, missionaries, Barnabas and Silas, messengers, Titus and Epaphroditus. But then in the narrow sense, the gift of an apostle was bound to die out because of the unique qualifications to receive the gift. In other words, there are no apostles today. There are no apostles today. And so those apostles were chosen directly by Christ so as to be called apostles of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1. Galatians 1 verse 1 and 1 Peter 1 verse 1. But also we need to understand about those apostles who were chosen directly by Christ. They were given three basic responsibilities. They were given three basic responsibilities. Number one, to lay the foundation of the church. To lay the foundation of the church. Ephesians 2 and verse 20. Ephesians 2 and verse 20. Number two, to receive, declare, and write God's word. To receive, declare, and write God's word. Ephesians 3 and verse 5. Ephesians 3 verse 5. Acts chapter 11 and verse 28. Acts 11 verse 28. Acts 21 verse 10 and 11. Acts 21 verse 10 and 11. So the responsibilities, number one, was to lay the foundation of the church, to receive, declare, and write God's word, and number three was to give confirmation of that word through signs, wonders, and miracles. To give confirmation of that word through signs, wonders, and miracles. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Acts chapter 8, verse 6 and 7. Acts chapter 8, verse 6 and 7. And Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 through 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 through 4. So not only were they were eyewitnesses of Jesus, not only were there other men who preached the gospel, but then they were given these basic responsibilities. Once again, to lay the foundation of the church, to receive, declare, and write God's word, and to give confirmation of that word through signs, wonders, and miracles. And so, while I'm here, there are many people who confuse the apostles and the disciples. They confuse the apostles and the disciples. See, there was a much, much larger group of disciples than there were apostles. All apostles were disciples. All apostles were disciples, but not all disciples were apostles. Not all disciples were apostles. Because one of the requirements for being an apostle was that they had to have personally seen Jesus. And the apostle had to be called directly by Christ. And so they were not self-perpetuating, nor were any apostles who died were replaced. So he says that he gave some apostles. But then he says, prophets. Prophets are foretellers, are inspired speakers, specially commissioned men in the early church. The office of prophet seems to have been exclusively for work within a local congregation. Now, they were not sent ones, as were the apostles. You read in Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 4. Acts 13, verse 1 through 4. But as with the apostles, the prophets, their office ceased with the completion of the New Testament. And so they were sometimes spoke practically direct revelation for the church from God. You read Acts chapter 11. We wrote that down earlier. Acts 11, verse 21 through 28. But not only did they speak direct revelation for the church from God, but also they just expounded the revelation already given in Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. Acts 13 and verse 1. And so we have to understand, not only that, but their message, talking about the prophet, their message were to be judged by other prophets to make sure it was valid. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 32. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 32. But also they had to conform to the teaching of the apostles. They had to conform to the teaching of the apostle. That's in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37. So we see from this that there are no apostles today. There are no prophets today. They have ceased. But then he talks about evangelists. Evangelist is a preacher of the gospel. An evangelist usually has one message, and that is how to receive salvation. The word evangelist is used only two other times in Scripture, meaning men who proclaim the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ to unbelievers. And those two times, we found that Philip was an evangelist who planted churches, Acts chapter 21 and verse 8. Acts 21 and verse 8. And then there was Timothy, who was instructed to do the work of the evangelist. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5. Some evangelists have the gift of evangelism and are given to the church there in verse 11, as we see that. And he gave some apostles, prophet, evangelists. And so the root meaning of evangelist is to bring good tidings or to bring the gospel message. But then he says, and some pastors. The phrase is best understood in context as a single office of leadership in the church. Now, the Greek word translated and, when he says and, some and, can mean in particular. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, 1 Timothy 5:17. So what we have is the normal meaning of pastor is shepherd. So the two functions together define the teaching shepherds. The teaching shepherds. But not only that, he is identified. The pastor is, or the shepherd is identified as one who is under the great shepherd. Not over the great shepherd, but under the great shepherd, Jesus. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. 1 Peter 2, verse 25. 1 Peter 2, verse 25. But also he is one who holds this office, is also called an elder, or a bishop, or an overseer. So he's a pastor, he's an elder, he's a bishop, he's an overseer. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. 1 Peter 5 and verse 12. And so you can bring all of these three terms together. It describes the elder, a bishop, overseer, pastor. You're still talking about one in the same. Elder emphasizes. Now, understand, elder emphasizes who the man is. Okay? You might want to write this down. Elder emphasizes who the man is. Bishop speaks of what he does. Pastor deals with his attitude and character. Elder emphasizes who the man is. Bishop speaks of what he does. Pastor deals with his attitude and character. And all three terms are used of the same church leaders. And all three identify those who feed and lead the church. Yet each term has a unique emphasis. A pastor differs from the evangelist. A pastor differs from the evangelist in that after the person is saved, he or she, after a person is saved, whether he or she, then we see that the pastor or the elder's job is to watch over them, to lead them into the Christian growth. So the evangelist, he preaches the word, and not only preaches the word, but once they obey the word, the elders, they lead them, they watch over them. And so we have to understand, but also we all are in the business of leading the person to salvation. And so we have to understand that. But then he says, not only apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, but then he says teachers. Teachers in the sense that we understand will be like Sunday school teachers and Bible study teachers. They will keep the word of God ever before the people. And so, well, why is all of those, when Paul was dealing with the church at Ephesus, why did he mention all of those? And we know that, again, apostles and prophets, they no longer exist. Because in verse number 12, he says, in verse 12, that which brings us to the fourth point, every believer's gift has a threefold purpose. Every believer's, a Christian's gift has a threefold purpose. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So in verse 12 through 16, we see that God's plan by which Christ produces church growth. You remember in Matthew 16, 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So obviously the building must be according to his plan. And attempting to build the church by human means only competes with the work of Christ. So there are three things. There are three purposes. Number one, perfecting. We look at the word perfecting. This refers to restoring something to its original condition, or being made fit or complete. Perfecting refers to restoring something to its original condition, or being made fit or complete. Now, In this context, it refers to leading Christians from sin to obedience. It's leading Christians from sin to obedience. The scripture is the key to this process. The scripture is the key to this process. So what God has done, and we're going to close with this, and we'll pick back up with verse 12, Lord's willing, next week. What God has done is that God has given four basic tools, as it were, for the spiritual perfecting of the saints. God has given four basic tools for the spiritual perfecting of the saints. And these are spiritual means. They are spiritual means, because the flesh cannot make anyone perfect. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3. Galatians 3, verse 3. So let's look at these four basic tools, and then we'll close out for tonight. The first tool is his word. The first tool is his word, and that's the Bible. That's the first tool, the Bible. The second tool is prayer. The second tool is prayer. The third tool is testing. The third tool is testing. And then the fourth tool is suffering. The fourth tool is suffering. So these are the four basic tools: his word, the Bible, prayer, testing, and suffering. And we'll look at this more in depth, Lord's willing, on next Wednesday, if the Lord's will. So I will be unmuting in just a minute. We just again thank you for just listening in, and we just pray that we've said something that can be a help. So if you missed anything, just go to our website, www.ipsychurchofchrist.org, and you can be able to go back and listen to what we talked about on tonight.